Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 582. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Keeping myself busy with house projects, so that's a bundle of fun. It seems like there's a never-ending list of those, despite not really having any work for 2 months, 3 months. I don't know. The time's kind of blurring at this point, at least in that regard. But yeah, hey, again, at least we still have wrestling, I suppose. It reminds me that there's a Monday and a Wednesday and a Friday. I don't get the Tuesday anymore, which is just fine by me. Think I'm missing out on some half decent women's stuff, but other than that, Impact was not really worth my time and effort.
No. Impact has not been worth anyone's time and effort for a very long time. it's just pointless. Its existence continues to be pointless.
What is worth our time is the fact that Rey Mysterio and or Seth Rollins is going to have to pull their opponent's eyeball out of its socket to win the match at Extreme Rules Horror Show.
Yeah, that's going to be a heck of a horror show. They're really leaning into this theme.
I am assuming that this is going to be an in-ring gem, huh?
I assume, but I don't know exactly how they're going to pull this off. I'll pull it out, so to speak. No. I mean, you know what? It's unique. And they've captured my interest as far as how they're going to deliver on this crazy stipulation.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird stipulation to be bringing. Obviously it makes sense in the context of what has happened. But it was kind of weird at first when Rey Mysterio had an eye completely gouged out on the corner of ring steps. So this really kind of, I guess, brings it to its logical weird conclusion.
Yeah, I mean it's there's something poetic to it, but it's the verbiage and the promise of pulling an eye out, not gouging an eye out, not gouging an eye, you know, or anything of that sort.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. They're not just sticking a finger in there and calling it a day.
No, they are not. You have to pull that eyeball out of its socket. Maybe like the old wrestlers used to do. This someone might eat an eyeball. Who knows?
Yeah. I did get a kick out of someone mentioning, and I already had the image in my head that if Seth Rollins is the one that loses the eye, he should just start dressing like a pirate, because he kind of looks like a pirate right now anyway.
Right, yeah, that is very true.
I would be amused by that, but I don't foresee that one, at least the... I might see him with an eye patch. I doubt the whole pirate gimmick will come about. I think the Monday Night Messiah is good enough for the time being. But yeah, I mean, I guess there isn't really that much to talk about that. You know, that match really. Outside of the gory stipulation, like, it's just a lot of intrigue, I guess. It does kind of add something. Yeah, this horror show setup is going to be pretty weird.
Yeah, Yeah, it definitely is. They're really leaning into the theme, almost to the point where they should have just gotten rid of the Extreme Rules name altogether and just played on the horror show aspect.
Oh, right. Yeah, because I don't feel like have they made any matches that are like, you know, your typical TLC, just a chair, you know, like I always feel like they end up with a chairs match.
Well, no, that's the TLC pay-per-view.
Oh, okay.
No, Extreme Rules is everything, is usually most matches, if not every match is a gimmick. Yeah. I mean,
I guess a tables match would probably be a better example than I went with a poor example.
Well, they did have on SmackDown a table introduced in the tag team title feud with New Day and Nakamura and Cesaro, and I assume that maybe the match that they're advertising on Friday will end with some table related hijinks to build to the tables rematch, the table stipulation rematch at Extreme Rules. Dolph Ziggler gets to choose his own stipulation, which he won't reveal to the night of. And of course, there's the swamp match. The swamp fight, excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm sure other matches will get gimmicks as we move forward.
Yeah, and when is... Do we have another 2-3 weeks?
No.
Or
no,
just
it's
two?
It's only two, no.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only two. It's less than two now.
Okie dokie. Well, then, yeah, I mean, I guess it's not that big of a deal since they're just stipulations that they need to figure out rather than, you know, I guess it's better than having matches to figure out. It seems like they kind of have the matches figured out for the most part. Or at least you can see where they're going to be coming if they haven't officially been announced. I guess, am I the only one, at least pertaining to the Rey Mysterio feud, that kind of expects Dominic to be doing something more than just being, a giant in the room doing a whole lot of nothing?
I absolutely expect them to. There will certainly be more with Dominic. I mean, either they are waiting to SummerSlam to do some kind of a tag match with Dominic and his father against, say, Seth and Buddy Murphy, or Dominic's turning heel on his father and joining with Seth.
That would be a pretty interesting one if they decide to go that route.
The one thing with this stipulation is that with Rey Mysterio wearing a mask, you can do some kind of a trick. Like you can do more tricks, like with a prosthetic or a fake eyeball, than you can with Seth Rollins, who does not wear a mask. If that's the direction they want to go,
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, especially if. I believe it was Meltzer that reported, so I would not think that this is a rumor, that Ray is basically just working a date-to-date contract at this point for the WWE.
Yeah, I've read that. I mean, that seems very interesting to me, that Ray has been allowed to wrestle without a contract and be in now what is a very top match at Extreme Rules now, maybe possibly now because of this waggy stipulation, maybe even becoming the top match because this is so the stipulation is so wild. And so, I mean, I gotta believe that either a deal has been made or is about to be made, because I can't imagine them putting Ray in this. In this high of a position, if they had any thought that he could bail on them.
Vince does not seem to play that way. So I would be pretty surprised, like you said, if something isn't either in the works or they at least have some type of a temporary contract keep him around for the end of this feud.
Yeah, I could see certainly see something like that.
But I mean, that could also point to him possibly losing too, I guess, and getting back to your thought about being able to do a little trickeration more with the mask than without it. So Ray could be in for a break. We will find that out. I hope not, because when they do give him the chance to wrestle, he's still really doing it. Jeremy texted me about this past Monday was just his continued amazement at Rey Mysterio.
Oh yeah, Rey's miracle cure knees are quite amazing.
New knees do help, but he definitely keeps himself pretty good shape to help things out. And I'd imagine he's probably carrying a decent chunk less weight than he did in his first WWE run.
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
Because even Ray was gassed up at that point.
He was incredibly gassed up.
that probably doesn't help with the injury department either, when you just weigh more than your knees can really support. I guess I could see that as the main event of Extreme Rules there, just because it is two of the bigger names. And is the Swamp fight for the Universal Championship? Or is it just a Swamp fight?
It's just a Swamp fight. It's not a title.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's one less match that, even though you could probably go, well, not probably, that I would imagine that's going to be a cinematic-style match. You could probably not make that one the main event, I guess. Just because the Bray Wyatt, even his cinematic ones, tend to be kind of weird. For as much fun as the John Cena Bray Wyatt thing was at WrestleMania, the Boneyard match was better. I guess I'll put it that way.
I think this is going to be more a Boneyard match than Firefly Funhouse match.
I agree. At least as far as style goes. It's just going to have a different setting, obviously. More water for them to play in. Lucky them. But, and I'm trying to think of what other... Because what's the other... Oh, yeah, Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. I mean, I guess we already kind of talked about that. I don't care what kind of stipulation Ziggler comes up with. I will not ever buy his chances of knocking off Drew McIntyre at this juncture.
No, I will not.
So yeah, I mean, that really does leave Ray and Seth in a prime spot to be the main event, because it's probably the two biggest names in one single match too. Like, you could say Braun and Bray are two, you know, they are two of their top stars, but when you have a legend and one of your top stars, it really kind of bumps the importance level up, I think.
Right.
I guess since we were mostly on the topic of Raw... what else, I guess we can, continue to talk about our, coronavirus era favorites, Bailey and Sasha, also being joined by, what I would assume is a, finally healed Kairi Sane in Asuka to, add some extra shenanigans to this whole Bailey Dostrap's storyline.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Everything they did last night with those four women, and also, you know, throwing in Nikki Cross was absolutely tremendous. It was great, you know, great fun. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Yeah, the ladies on WWE are really killing it overall. Yeah, Kairi Sane. I kind of forget how well she plays off of Asuka sometimes, but she does a good job of holding up her end of the bargain, which is which really helps out quite a bit.
It's also great to watch her wrestling someone who enhances what she can do instead of being tossed around.
Oh. Yeah, that is a little bit of they seem to give Kairi to larger opponents frequently to play the underdogs. So even though Banks definitely, as far as in accomplishments, is higher ranking than Kairi Sane, physically they're about in the same area there. I guess I was okay. That's one of those occasions where I'm good with, I guess, a DQ. You know, it's still... because I'm trying to think. Does Sasha and Bayley now have three separate matches at Extreme Rules, or is it just the...
It's just the two.
Two matches, okay.
They're not defending the tag belts on Extreme Rules.
No, that's right, because that's next week.
Yeah, next week they're defending the tag belts against the Kabuki Warriors, which should also be absolutely tremendous. I have no fear of that being bad.
Yeah, because both of the singles matches were quite good. Because was it Bayley and Asuka later? Or was there one of my...
Bayley and Asuka, yes. Bayley and Asuka, Bayley and Asuka was the main event. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was a hell of a main event to end on.
Yeah, it definitely was. And it took up, you know, nearly a half an hour, the last half an hour of the show. You know, of course, with commercials. Yeah, absolutely. It was a very, very good match. I liked it a lot. I think he did a good job, you know, setting up a tag title match for next week, you know, keeping, you know, the Asuka-Sasha issue alive for Extreme Rules, and as well as doing some build-up for Bayley's match with Nikki Cross by having Nikki Cross do Nikki Cross things.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun for her to pop up, do the typical wrestling thing and pop up behind the plexiglass in the crowd. It does obviously give itself another element since they can't touch each other. But it is a kind of a somewhat creative way to... have her interfere in a match without her being at ringside. Yeah, they've got to kind of decide what way they want to go with Nikki Cross in some ways. Her outfit says Sparkly Princess sometimes, and then she still kind of acts like a maniac. That's the only problem that I can find with her. But that is not that big of a deal. She's still very good in the ring, and that should be a quality match there at Extreme Rules. I guess what else is... I'm trying to think. Just because Raw seemed... just okay, I guess, this week, outside of that stuff. Like, Is there anything else that really jumps off the page to you? I guess the MVP Bobby Lashley stuff is the only thing that we haven't really gotten to on Raw. Any thoughts?
The Bobby Lashley, the MVP stuff, I still just do not get their need to keep putting MVP in the ring at this point. I don't, maybe he's not, I was just never a big MVP fan in his prime, really. Good personality, good talker, but, you know, work in the ring was, you know, average at best, you know, even in his prime. But, and now 50-something MVP, you know, just, you know, in a feud for a title, can't say I'm a huge fan of it. I mean, I guess I get it, since this is just Extreme Rules. If you want to save Lashley going for the U.S. title against Apollo Crews to SummerSlam, you can use MVP as the bridge to get there. Which I guess that's fine, but I'm just never excited to see MVP in the ring in 2020.
It's not really necessary. Like you said, like unlike Rey Mysterio, MVP has not kept his weight lighter than his earlier days, and that is not aiding his in-ring work. And yeah, like you said, like the WWE keeps on doing it. I don't understand why either. I definitely, like you said, the stopgap measure of not having Bobby Lashley wrestle Apollo Crews multiple pay-per-views in a row is fine. But, yeah, I guess I'd rather see Cedric Alexander taking on Apollo Crews at the pay-per-view if MVP can somehow flip him to the... to his side of the equation. But that's obviously not something that's really expected either.
Right.
yeah, so I guess that's Raw, which, oof. Back to SmackDown, I suppose. Move along to SmackDown. It would seem that Matt Riddle is safe for the time being from some allegations that have been brought up recently and obviously talked about on this show. So I think that's worth noting. Not only did he get some promo time with Michael Cole, he also got a big win over John Morrison.
Yeah, Matt Riddle, so far safe from allegations affecting his career negatively, but not safe from WWE creative affecting his career negatively. Oh my God, that feet promo! My God, that was Roman Reigns suffering succotash level stuff in my book. It was so bad.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. Like, I'm definitely not sitting here wondering why he's not wearing shoes. Like, I basically am like, oh, it's because he's an MMA fighter. Why is there a backstory to this? I don't understand what makes that necessary.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. No, he's an MMA fighter, and being an MMA fighter, I think he should be doing better than, you know, going 20 minutes with John Morrison, taking 75% of the match, and then winning on a fluke roll up. That is not how you market and promote a dominant MMA fighter. Become professional wrestler.
yeah, that does seem to be a popular thing, though, to do here recently.
I do think, I think that, you know, Vince McMahon looks at Matt Riddle and he sees Shawn Michaels or, you know, the the example that people have been making about Matt Riddle since he came into wrestling, even back when he was in UFC, is people saying that he kind of looks like Kerry Von Erich. A baby face. He's just a classic baby face. He just looks like a classic baby face who would take a beating but still come out and win in the end. And that is how, an elderly man like Vince McMahon would see Matt Riddle, in Vince's mind, not understanding that Matt Riddle is actually one of the toughest men toughest men walking the face of this earth. He just sees this kind of pretty blonde-haired pretty boy, not the biggest guy, I don't know if Vince believes that Matt Riddle is that tough.
Oh,
this sounds silly, but once again, Vince lives in his bubble and knows nothing about UFC or mixed martial arts.
Yeah, but a lot of the guys that have that pedigree, they've given them something of a leg up in the fighting department. And I guess they haven't done that too much. Obviously, they've trusted him in the ring enough, and I guess I did enjoy the match.
No, it was a very good match. Actually, it was probably John Morrison's best match since returning.
I definitely couldn't.
Morrison was great in that match. I will absolutely say that. And I have not been a fan of Morrison upon his return.
Yeah, well, I think that's the first time they've really let him give it a rip in a singles match since his return. And because I was enjoying his in-ring work in Impact when I watched it. So I guess I will make fun of his finisher until the end of time, just because it doesn't look like it hurts. But other than that, he can definitely be a good wrestler at times. A great wrestler, I should say, at times. Just because he does have a lot of the kind of necessary... The parkour really does help him be a very, very fun and athletic wrestler, even if... maybe because of that athleticism, he does not always pay attention to psychology.
Yeah, that is a very fair criticism.
So... there is that end of things, but this one, he definitely more than held up his end of the bargain. So that was kind of exciting to see, especially after, Miz and Morrison have definitely taken their share of L's recently. So it kind of helps to make them not look like fools when they can last against some of these, tougher guys that are on the roster.
Right.
Trying to remember what else happened. I guess it was a bunch of long-ish matches on SmackDown this week there. AJ Styles versus Drew Gulak. And that was another high quality match, I would say.
Yeah, it was a good match. I'm just not that interested in Drew Gulak. I know I might be in the minority of the people listening and in various corners of the internet wrestling community, but I am just always bored to tears by baby faces whose entire character is I'm a good wrestler. That's the depth of their character.
It's kind of weird that he kind of came in that way. He changed the whole PowerPoint dorky almost. I'm trying to think of right to censor kind of a situation.
I really enjoyed him during that period. Once again, I know a lot of people love this Drew Gulak, but I just don't get it. Serious wrestler only works when it's a heel gimmick, say, like Timothy Thatcher on NXT, where it's that, yes, he's a serious wrestler, but he's also a sadist who enjoys hurting people, putting people in holes and hurting them. You know,
right.
That's how that works. It, but just being a boring guy in trunks and boots who just rustles. I don't know. As babyface.
I mean,
there have been people who pulled it off who I liked. You know, I think maybe Dean Malenko is the most. Maybe the most prominent example, but
okay.
I don't know. I feel like Malenko brought more to the table than Gulak does. There's just something about Gulak I just can't get into in this babyface run. Yeah, I don't get the whole he's Daniel Bryan's coach. What the hell does Gulak have to teach Daniel Bryan about wrestling? I don't get it.
Yeah, and Daniel Bryan hasn't really done. Like, I liked, that was one thing, I almost forgot about it. I loved the Zoom check-ins with Daniel Bryan during the match. You know, it felt like one of those kind of sideline reporter or sideline interview type of situations. But it was obviously in live time, which is, to me, I think that is, as much as I give a hard time to WWE production, I think that's kind of a fun thing that I don't remember them doing that on Raw, but I do like that little gimmick. And
no, that was done well. And Daniel Bryan is very good in that setting.
Yeah, but he still, to me, I guess, even in that setting, he didn't give me a whole lot of meat to go, oh, that's why he's sticking with Drew Gulak. You know, he talked about Gulak making him a better wrestler a couple of times, but it's kind of empty platitudes and not descriptive to me.
Yeah, no. You're exactly right. Yeah, there's just no real reason for them to be together. It just, I feel it doesn't work for me. Once again, I feel like a number of people will disagree, but it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I enjoy his wrestling enough that it doesn't bother me too much, but it is something that definitely could use to be, like, they need to give him. There's so many. How many times do we say he could use more of a character?
Yeah.
You know, like him and Daniel Bryan, even if they show them in a setting like they have been the last couple of weeks with Timothy Thatcher training in his dojo, but just have him and Gulak interacting with each other in that type of a setting. It would be kind of helpful, you know, if Gulak is truly helping Daniel Bryan improve. And, yeah, and Gulak could just use some wins, too. Like, being a good wrestler is one thing, but when you're basically on, and he won against AJ Styles, but it was pretty much a, I shouldn't say a fluke, but I believe that Daniel, or that there had been a distraction, if I'm not mistaken, and Gulak got the roll up. So, you know, he needs a better win than that.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, like, or even just have him winning against some kind of lower tier people would be helpful, and it just has not been provided at all.
No, it really has not, no.
So, yeah, that, I think there are a lot of reasons not to be into Drew Gulak currently, so I hear you on the apathy, at least. I guess I'm enjoying a little bit more, but it's still not really anything that's really hooking me.
Well, other than Sasha and Bayley, I think that describes SmackDown currently in a nutshell. Nothing's hooking me. I just, I mean, I'm sure we'll. I'm sure the swamp fight will be wacky, and Lord only knows what kind of stipulation they'll give Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. I'm almost scared to think about what we've already got with the swamp fight and eye for an eye match. I don't even know what they'll do with Sheamus and Jeff Hardy. Are they gonna just put pits around the ring and fill them with meth infected needles? so if Jeff Hardy lands on them, he gets hooked again.
That could be an option. They could go with Jeff Hardy is forced to drive his family drunk.
Drinking contest, I don't know.
it is. That feud has been just really bizarre to me, because
it's really bad. It's classless. I'm just not interested in it.
Yeah, that's what it is for me. Like, I'm just, there is nothing drawing me into that at all.
No, I mean, I thought we figured out years ago that Sheamus' time as a singles wrestler was over, and he should just stay in tag teams. But I guess not.
I guess I was wondering if he had another run in him, honestly. But again, like, he doesn't have much of a character. Or if he has a character, it's the same character that he's had his entire run in the WWE, which is getting to be kind of lengthy at this point. You know, like, he's just the Irish tough guy. And what we're probably running on, what we, I know that Jeremy ran into him. We went down to Atlanta for 30. Which one was down in Atlanta? Was that WrestleMania?
That was 27.
27.
Yeah.
So, and what we just went to 30, 34 was just this past year.
35,
36. Oh, 36. Dear Lord, the guy's had the same gimmick for 9 years.
No, it's 10. His first WrestleMania was 26.
Oh, okay. So we ran into him his second WrestleMania. Or Jeremy ran into him. And...
Yeah.
gimmick pretty much unchanged the whole time. And I mean... That's hard for me to get invested in. And he's been another one, too, where it's just they made a big deal out of him coming back from all of his time off. And then he's kind of just gotten pushes and spurts. Where, like, I feel like I see him on TV for a month straight, and then I don't see him for a couple of weeks, and then they kind of, they're like, oh, well, now you're going to feud with this guy. And this guy right now is Jeff Hardy, but they haven't done a great job of keeping him active in my book. I don't know. I mean, Sheamus probably... I mean, it is kind of weird that he is a singles wrestler, considering that his old tag team partner, Cesaro, they gave him... another chance at being a single star, and they still didn't like him, and he's already back in a tag team with Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah. You know what? It's where he belongs. Maybe there's another universe out there where Cesaro is a multiple time world champion, but it's not this one. He is probably, you know, not counting the teams that have, you know, never split up in that vein, but he is probably the best tag team wrestler of this generation. He's just meant to be in a tag team.
I mean, it's pretty crazy how well he's thrived no matter where he's been in a tag team. Because, I mean, wasn't most of his run in ROH more as a tag team wrestler than a singles wrestler anyway?
Yeah, well, yeah, teaming, yeah, the Heroes of Wrestling with, the Kings of Wrestling, excuse me, with Chris Hero, yes. And there he had a singles run, and they had two runs as a team, I believe. And once again, as Claudio Castagnoli, a singles wrestler in between those two tag team runs yet? Yep, underachieved. You know, never really held ROH singles gold either. Actually, he's held with multiple U.S. and Intercontinental title runs. He's definitely been he's actually a more successful singles wrestler in WWE than ROH.
And yes, as you've, I think, well pointed out, he still hasn't done particularly great. And obviously, Nakamura has. He has not lived up to his end of the bargain in his time in WWE. Like, your high time should not be your very first match in the company at NXT TakeOver.
I mean, yeah, you could argue that, but I'm sure he doesn't care very much.
Oh, he can give zero fucks. Oh,
he is getting paid, and well, at least until there was a pandemic, he was going out in the Florida Ocean, and surfing every day. Yeah. Oh no, I don't know. That man knew what he was doing when he signed with when he signed with WWE and realized he didn't have to be dropped on the back of his head in his matches anymore.
Yeah, and then this is also kind of what happens when you move a little bit later in your career over to a major company. I mean, I almost feel like that's kind of happening with Kushida in NXT. I know he had an injury break, but I also feel like he just kind of came over here too late to be able to make the impact that maybe I was expecting him to or thought that he was capable of just from watching his older matches. And I think Nakamura is in that category too, where, you know, maybe there isn't as much in the gas tank anymore. And he's ready to just coast. And I don't blame him. It should be some fun matchups there with Nakamura and Cesaro against New Day.
Yeah.
There is the possibility of some good tag team wrestling in the WWE, even if it doesn't shine out all the time. Anything else to talk about WWE related?
Not off the top of my head.
Okie dokie. Well, this is a short show then. No major news this week. No COVID stories, no speaking out allegations, at least as far as I know. So I guess it's time to wrap this bad boy up, huh?
I would say so.
I am drinking my very last Land Grant Brewing Peach Basket, which is a fruited ale with obviously peaches and a little bit of vanilla. It's another one of those summer beers that that is nice and light that I have been enjoying during this quarantine time. And yeah, if you happen to be able to get your hands on some Land Grant beer, I highly suggest it. I believe they are shipping all throughout Ohio at this point. So if you at least live in the Buckeye State, you should be able to get your filthy paws on it. You up there in Michigan, you know, you have your own good beer to drink. So just go enjoy that. So that is advice from at DeFrango 11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to prefer to listen to podcasts. And have a good night.
Later.